Welcome to lesson 197 in our glorification series on the attributes of who God is and how to grow to be more and more like him. Remember, this book four now has three parts. It's glorification at the end, but before that, it's justification, actually becoming a child of God, sanctification, being molded in his character to be more and more like him as you live. And then finally, glorification, where Christ radiates out of your life based on your obedience and faithfulness to him. And so here we continue. We're kind of focused in on this whole idea of forgiveness. We've gone through three lessons. In lesson 194 and 195, we talked about God's attributes of forgiveness in four unique words in the Hebrew and Greek. Then we went ahead, and in 196, we said, what are the requirements for forgiveness? And we looked in depth at shedding of blood and who Jesus Christ is. Now we're getting into something very specific, where God calls out a ceremony for the Jewish people called Yom Kippur, his Day of Atonement. So let's take a look at this and read along in his where the origin comes from in Leviticus and what it represents for us today. Yom Kippur is God's Day of Atonement. It's the most important day of the Jewish calendar. It's called the Great Day. It was established by God as an everlasting statute for the Jewish people. Leviticus 16:34 says, "This shall be an everlasting statute for you to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year." Okay, so go ahead and click on the screen. 10 days before Yom Kippur was Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. The rabbis would teach that God decides whether or not a person's name isn't written in the book of life. So what's this book of life? If you go back to Exodus, in Exodus chapter 32, listen to what it says in verses 32 and 33. "Yet now, if you will forgive their sin," or here's Moses talking to God, "but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book." This is called the book of life. It's kind of interesting. God has led them in the Exodus out of Egypt into a relationship with him. Do you know what Egypt's book was called? The book of death. God's book is the book of life. It's very interesting. Big difference between the two. God leads them out of death, just like Psalm 23 says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me." The Jewish nation, the Israelites, lived in the shadow of death until God came in and led them out into life. And it says here that the Jews would greet each other during this period of Rosh Hashanah with, "May you be inscribed in the book of life." Now, in that 10-day period from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, it's called the 10 days of penitence. Each person is called to repent. And then on Yom Kippur, God's judgment on each person for the coming year would be sealed. Jews would greet each other on this day by saying, "May you be sealed in the book of life." So what's interesting here is God's original intent for all the Jews on Yom Kippur was to humble themselves. If you look at Leviticus 16, look at verse 29. It says literally that this shall be a statute forever. In that seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall inflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native or in a country or a stranger who sojourns among you. So the whole point was humble yourself before God. That's the whole point. Because you recognize your sinfulness and spiritual bankruptcy, acknowledge your dependence on God and their need for a substitutionary sacrifice to atone for their sins. And where was this substitutionary sacrifice to come from? Yom Kippur centered around the temple and the high priest, who would offer animal sacrifices at the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. Remember, we talked about this when we talked about God's second attribute of mercy and kindness, and we got into depth of this whole thing of propitiation in the mercy seat. And in that is the sacrifice of what they call the scapegoat in Leviticus 16. So let's click on the screen, go to the next slide. Okay, so here we go. This idea of a scapegoat. You guys are familiar with this in American culture in the West. It's another example of a word that was provided by in the English language that we got from the Bible. Webster's Dictionary says it's a person who's made to blame or bear the blame for other people. Well, the Hebrew meaning literally is the goat of Azazel for the complete sending away. Okay, what does that mean? Let's take a look. Leviticus 16. We'll start here. We'll look at verse 10. Matter of fact, I'm going to back up a little bit. I'm going to go to verse 7. He, the high priest, shall take two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the goat Lord and the other for the scapegoat. The first one for the Lord is literally the goat of Jehovah. The second one is a goat of Azazel. Verse 9, Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. So in this one, the goat of Jehovah would be offered for the shedding of blood for the remission of sin. Remember, we just talked about remission or passing over. However, it says in verse 10, the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat, the goat of Azazel, shall be presented alive to make atonement, a covering, and you will let it go, the scapegoat, into the wilderness. So on this one, literally, you would have the sins of the nation put on this goat of Azazel. You see the picture here where he's let off. Let's keep reading. Verse 11, Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and he shall kill the bull. He shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, which is hands full of sweet incense, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense of the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. Remember this whole thing about the mercy seat? He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat. We just studied this in propitiation for kindness. Sprinkle some of the blood. Okay, this is to make atonement for himself. He's a man. He represents Jesus Christ as a high priest, but he's still just a man. He has to atone for his own sin. In verse 15, then he takes the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. He brings its blood inside the veil to do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bull on the mercy seat. Verse 16, he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions for all their sins. So literally in verse 16, all the way through verse 20, he's talking about the atonement that's made, which we've already discussed in the Holy of Holies with the blood on the mercy seat for the sins of the nation. And we talked about that's a picture of Jesus Christ. Now look at this, verse 21. Aaron, the high priest, shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, the goat of Azazel, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all of their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and then sending the goat away into the wilderness. And the goat of Azazel, shall bear on itself all the iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat into the wilderness. This is an amazing picture here of Jesus Christ. If you look at Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 6, we just talked about Aaron the high priest placing his hands on the head of the goat and putting all the sins of the nation on that goat as the scapegoat, to bear the sins. Remember the definition of the scapegoat? Bear the blame for others, carry their guilt for them, and then send it off into isolation to die in the wilderness on its own. Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. In other words, he's cursed. We look at him as a curse, not a blessing. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the sin of us all. There's your goat of Azazel. There is a perfect picture of Jesus Christ. But remember, you have in Leviticus here, both goats are a picture of Christ. The goat of Jehovah, our sin offering, innocent blood sprinkled on the mercy seat behind the veil, symbolizes Christ's death as God's only acceptable sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin. And then the goat of Azazel, our scapegoat sent into the wilderness to carry our sins, is our justification before a holy God. The punishment we deserve is transferred from us onto Jesus Christ, our scapegoat. This is incredible. This is now looking at this whole idea of what's behind Yom Kippur. Can you see it? It's a picture of Messiah, but it's a picture of the only true Messiah, Jesus Christ. That's lesson 197.